Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dice Guys audio podcast number 8 for October 29th, 2011. My name is Mike, and this is...
Here.
Here. Yeah. Well, welcome here. Here and I will be talking today about our weeks and what happened to us this week, as well as Etsy. What the hell is Etsy? Well, stick around. You'll find out. We've also got our picks of the week. Remember, Halloween's coming up, so we've got some good games for that. And we also have Brain Flakes. Brain Flakes, still crunchy in milk after all this time. It's amazing.
And starting to smell a little.
No, man. Trying to kill me. Well,
yes.
Here we are.
Here we are. What happened to you, Mike?
What happened to me this week?
Yeah.
Well, this week, not really anything.
Nah, that's not true.
I know it's not true, but I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay, well, I am going to talk about it because this world.
Where do we work, Jason?
Oh, we work at a hotel.
At a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently a hotel's an easy target for asshats.
You would be amazed the hats people wear at hotels.
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, to earn our explicit tag and stuff, we're talking about these dick pickles that go out here and purposely disrupt a person's business, cause massive property damage by repeatedly calling until they get a hold of a guest in a hotel who's stupid enough to do what they say, and tamper with a sprinkler system, or throw things through windows, or set shit on fire. I don't know. I'm angry. Sorry for the language. I don't normally cuss like this in the podcast, and so I'm going to try and tone it down a little bit, but these people do this on a regular basis.
They
post the reactions that they video and then later call and get verbal reactions. They post all these things to the
net. We're not going
to
name them because we don't want to give them any kind of...
We're not going to name them. We don't want people trafficking their site.
I can't believe that...
Well, no, I can believe there are people in the world that do this. I can't believe there are enough people in the world to do this for it to be as big a deal as it is. And the fact that just for their own pure enjoyment, I'm not even sure they're making any money out of this or anything. For their own pure enjoyment, they're causing tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage to properties.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they could literally shut the whole hotel down. And they're thinking, well, they have insurance to pay for it. Well, guess what? Little peons like you and me, we don't. We lose out on money.
We lose hours, we lose money, we lose work. If the hotel closed down, we'd be out of a job, and this podcast wouldn't get done.
Right, because it's hard to do this from the backseat of a car. Anyway.
That's if we have a car.
That's if you still have a car.
Yeah.
But, okay, that's it. My rant's done. If I have any more to rant, it'll be in my blog.
That pretty much covers the week because that took the cake, really. I did some other things, but nothing really, you know, that came up and I didn't really want to talk about that either, but yeah.
So, hey, if this podcast seems like it's thrown together at the last minute, just might have been.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that was my week. And there's nothing else you want to cover on your week?
No. Okay. No, I don't think so. So I think we can go straight to the Brain Flakes.
Brain Flakes. Brains. All right. Let's talk about this web documentary series that PBS is doing.
Yes, it's an awesome series for one thing, but they just put out an episode on video games.
Right. Right. The series is called Off Book by PBS Arts.
And we'll have a link to it on the website so you can see it.
In the show notes. Mm-hmm. And this is about, like I said, video games and their value as art.
As art. Yeah.
And connection.
And it kind of goes over how the artwork has improved over the years, or even how now you have retro games going back art wise and sort of rekindling the
art. Oh yeah, I mean
the
they talked about they not only talked about the progression, they talked about indie games and how
they specifically named Minecraft, which is totally retro in its bitmappy look.
Right.
So
right.
It's a fun
and
game.
Incredibly addictive.
Yeah.
Can't stop playing it. Anyway.
I'm going digging again.
Yeah. It's interfered seriously with my ability to play WoW, damn it. But anyway. So, really cool. You guys should check it out.
Yeah.
Like we said, there'll be a link in the show notes.
The interesting thing that I liked about the main thing I really liked about the documentary was at the end, they give you a list of 8 games they think you should go find somehow and play.
Oh, and they listed one of my absolute all-time favorites, but I'll mention that when you get to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, among the games was Psychonauts, Okami for the Wii, a game called Rez. If you don't know any of these games, that's okay. They show you some screenshots in the video, and you can look them up on the internet, and hopefully you can even find them in different places.
Right.
I might even put links to it in the show notes if I find them online where you can get them. One of the games that they put in there was Another World, which was a adventure game, one of the first graphic adventure games back in the 80s.
For the Amiga.
And it was awesome. I mean, you had text games and mixed text and graphic games up until this one, really, or the ones coming out of this company. And it was pretty cool. I played it a lot. The game that Jason likes so much is
Planescape Torment.
Yes.
It is one of the best RPG video games ever created. It's a little bit bizarre. If you're not used to walking off the beaten track, then, you know, you might have a small problem with it. But best RPG out there, and I happen to know for a fact that you can pick it up on Steam for like $9.99.
Yeah.
So,
and some of these other ones might be on Steam or on a couple of the retro gaming sites. But if I find links to them, I'll put them up if they're not on the PBS site.
Well, okay, talking about video games, though, since we don't usually cover a lot of video games, but this week we happened to run across a couple of cool things.
Mm-hmm. They flaked our brain.
Yep. Wanted to let you guys know, Apples to Apples, which we've talked about here before, is now going to be coming to the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade.
Yes.
So that's kind of awesome, and I can't wait to see how that plays.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it converts over to video game style and party game for video game
type. I mean, it's just a simple throw down a card kind of game, so the mechanics can't be that difficult. It's just going to be how well does it work with controllers.
What are you going to have to
do? Over a network.
Are you going to have to type in your answers? Because that could be difficult.
No, I have a feeling. I mean, it seems to me like since you just have cards in your hand, it'll show the cards. And
you
just
pick.
Hit one the button that corresponds to that card position.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, it should be a quick play. And the problem is, when you're playing apples to apples with people at the table, you usually know a couple of the people at least. So you have an idea of how they think. Mm-hmm. You're going to be playing on the Xbox Live Arcade Network.
And
you're not going to have a clue.
And the table talk is part of that game too, because you're trying to convince other people
right.
to pick your
so
card.
So are they going to integrate the voice?
Yes.
With it? Let's hope. Let's hope.
Because, I mean, that's part of the game is to convince other people to pick your card without letting them know it's yours.
I imagine it'll be a pretty dry game if they don't have voice activated.
So.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And we have another thing about video games, our science pick of the week.
Wow, yeah. Absolutely.
Science!
All right. I don't know if we're going to keep doing that every week, but it's so much fun.
I mean,
if you guys don't like it, let us know, and we'll probably still do it anyway because we're enjoying it. Okay, we came across an article, a really cool little thing. There's a study being done that shows that people with lazy eye, once they reach a certain...
Wake up!
You threw me there, sorry. Okay. Once you reach a certain age, you stop showing that the standard treatments for lazy eye, people really stop showing any real improvement. But they did a study where they set these kids down with shooters and they did the normal treatments as well as had them play an hour of the shooters a day, and they showed a significant improvement. Let's see, 60% of the participants claimed some improvement in their lazy eye, and a total of the over the total study, 27% of the kids involved showed major improvement after playing these.
So not only did shooters. it help their lazy eye, but they could headshot from like 100 yards.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some of them. Well, it is specific. It's actually it's specifically noted in the article that in the beginning, these kids with the lazy eyes had a lot of trouble playing first-person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
As you might imagine, there's a perceived amount of depth perception in these 3D games, and with a lazy eye, that makes that a little bit more difficult. But as they learn it, apparently their eye adjusts and strengthens. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome that for once we get positive news from the community about video games and gaming in general.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So, well, the last brain flake thing that I had to bring up was just short was the Spiel Game Fair in Essen, Germany has been going on.
About board games. Finally, we have something about board games. Okay.
Yes. And it's been going on in Essen, Germany, and every year at this game fair, one of the biggest in the world, they announce their top 10 games of the year. And, of course, they've announced for 2011. And some of the games that they picked this year, then I'm just going to name the top three. And it's the number one game is Seven Wonders.
Which is a game that we really need to review because it's a shorter, you know, as you may have noticed from these podcasts, we tend to like the shorter games. And it's about a 30-minute game.
Those are the ones I like to recommend anyway, unless I know that a lot of hobby gamer types might be listening.
Right.
So it depends on what we're talking about that week.
Mm-hmm.
The second game, the number two game, is Die Burger von Burgund.
Yeah.
Bergen von Burgund. It's a game about Burgundy, France. And the number three game is Troyes. Now, the Seven Wonders game is about rich people in a city, building cities. And the number two game is about aristocrats building kingdoms in Burgundy, France. And the number three game is about rich people building influence in Champagne area of France. So the top three games are the one percenters.
There we go. See, Mike had to find a way to bring politics into the podcast.
Just a little bit.
Just a little
bit. We're
not
going to go into
it. Just a tiny little bit.
I just thought it was kind of interesting that the top three games are all about being rich people.
Yeah,
it kind of goes to tell you, you know, that what people are fantasizing about.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sitting here at a table playing a board game, pushing cardboard chits around instead of pushing real money around.
I feel totally powerless, so I'm going to play a game where I am the power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that makes perfect psychological sense.
Nothing wrong with that. And I bet they're probably fun games. Seven Wonders definitely has good reviews all over the place. So
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Probably well worth a number one pick.
Okay, well, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. This is our last episode before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to throw a few Halloween-y things at you. And that sounds dirty. Anyway. So
I don't want to hear about your Halloween-y.
I went a different direction with my game pick of the week. I really don't know why I should have picked a Halloween one, but Mike did pick one that
we'll put a Halloween spin on yours.
We'll try.
Yeah. I think it's got orange in the colors.
Not much. No, yeah, not really. Okay. But anyway, good try. Anyway, so let's go with your pick of the week since it's more towards the theme we're wanting to go with.
Yeehaw, I got snake ass.
My pick of the week is Give Me the Brain. Give Me the Brain.
Yeah, it doesn't actually sound like... In fact, it doesn't have a sound.
It doesn't have a sound, no. It just says Give Me the Brain.
Yeah.
It's a card game from Steve Jackson Games. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly quick card game. has cards, obviously, but there's also a die involved. The six-sided die is considered to be the brain. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go into details really about the cards or anything. You're basically, the idea is that you're zombies at a fast food restaurant. Jason's worked at a fast food restaurant. He understands this perfectly.
Yeah, this was obviously created by somebody else who's worked in a fast food restaurant.
But basically, an order is placed. You have cards in your hand, and you might be able to match the ingredients for that order. You try to make the order, a hamburger, a chicken thing, something like that. It doesn't matter what the ingredients are. They're zombies.
Right.
So, and you can up the points and everything by rolling the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And at some points, the brain gets dropped and all the zombies scramble for it.
All right.
And you bid for the brain with other cards.
Cool.
So, basically trying to get the most points in the game by the end of third shift, I believe. There's three shifts in the game.
There are 24-hour plays. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So you can come in, 2 a.m. and get your, zombie nose soup or whatever.
Okay.
So what was in that chili that you guys made at your place?
Anyway.
It was good. I'm just saying. I don't care what was in it.
Yeah, it had a habit of cleaning you out, though. Anyway, that's a different story altogether.
So anyway, give me the brain. Steve Jackson Games. I'll have a link to it on the site. Obviously, you can probably pick it up at your friendly local game store. And it is a blast to play. A lot of players can play it at once. And the more players, the better. Because
excellent.
Everybody starts saying brains. And I'm not a big zombie fan myself. They kind of scare the crap out of me. And so I don't really like watching zombies and doing zombie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fun game. So I pick it for Halloween pick.
Excellent choice for your Halloween party.
Yeah.
So, games that are unique.
Yeah.
Games that are older or even really cool little crafty items based off of some of your favorite games. Where would we go to find that, Mike?
Well, I don't know exactly where you'd go to find that, but I think you know where to go to get to find those things.
Yeah, you go to Etsy.com. I'm sure it's not the only place that you would go to find these sort of things, but this place is cool.
Now, they're not an advertiser with us yet.
No.
And
we're working on this. We're working on this. Etsy.com.
ETSY.com. It's just a cool thing that Jason found, especially related to games and board games.
Right, absolutely. You get all kinds of really cool stuff on here. I mentioned the accessories. Right now I'm looking at bottle cap magnets that are based off the covers of some of your old family games, Scrabble, Clue, Monopoly. They're like miniature little versions of the covers inside these little bottle cap magnets.
Yep. And there's a tote for your games, a Catan game bag that somebody's made.
Yep.
These are all things that are basically craft items that
handmade.
People make. Handmade. Most of them are handmade,
mm-hmm.
and they put them on this site for sale.
Yep.
So all these things are going to be, a lot of them are going to be unique.
Okay, speaking of unique, you noticed the cribbage board on this site.
The cribbage board game. We thought it was stone. Then we clicked on it.
It's actually maple burl wood with deer antler pegs.
Yes.
So those vegans and PETA people might not appreciate this at all.
They might not want to buy this.
Yeah. But if you're looking for a unique version of a game, one that nobody else is going to have.
Because there's only one of these, according to.
Of these in existence. It's $250.
Yeah.
If you're willing to pay to have a unique cribbage board, there you go.
If you have a rich person that you don't know what to get them, but they like cribbage, here you go.
It's totally unique.
There's some other handmade wooden board games here that are in the $70 range.
And they're based off of ancient board games. There was one based off of, the Maori tribe. And we're also seeing things like a Simpsons board game. There's all kinds of games on here, like an original Chutes and Ladders. So you got some classic games being sold here as well as handcrafted.
Yeah. So it's just kind of a cool little site that we wanted to bring up, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. People should check it out for their unique board game needs.
Yes. Well, that's a good advertisement there.
Why, thank you. I'm really working this.
Okay, well, maybe they'll call us up.
Now, something I didn't know existed, and this is my game pick of the week, is, you know, we know about Settlers of Catan and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't actually realize there was a Catan dice game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, doesn't speak well for me, because apparently it's been around for a while, but...
I'm sorry, Jason, you're going to have to turn in your dice guy card.
I am no longer allowed to claim to be a gamer.
Or a dice guy.
Or a dice guy, yeah. Anyway, we played this the other night.
That's why we're the dice guys, not the dice experts.
Oh, thank you. Not only do you accuse me, but you give me an out. That's awesome. Okay, the Catan dice game.
Mm-hmm.
We got a chance to play this the other night. It's a resource management game, basically.
Like the Settlers of Catan board game.
Like the Settlers of Catan board game. Mm-hmm. There's a few small differences in the sense that in the board game, you are trying to build roads and claim hexes and stuff to get the resources off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, in the dice game, you're building the roads, but your resources come from the dice. And the resources you get on the dice tell you what you can buy, which is settlements, cities, knights, roads.
Yes.
And
you have to build your roads to get to the settlements before you can build them.
Right. So. And each one's worth progressively more points as you go through. So if you get one settlement, it's worth 3 points. The next settlement's worth 5 points. The next one's 7, so on and so forth. And the cities are where the big numbers are at, but they're really hard to get.
Yes.
You get to roll the dice. You get 3 rolls, so it's kind of a mix of Yahtzee and Settlers of Catan. And there's a limited number of turns. And at the end of those turns, whoever has the most points wins the game. If you don't get the resources during a certain turn, I found out the hard way, if you don't get the resources to build even one thing on your turn, you take a hit. You get a -2 for that round.
Yeah.
That's a major detriment, guys.
It is.
Since there are a limited number of turns to try and build your resources in, taking a -1 on one turn, that's more than a black eye.
Add it all up at the end, whoever has the highest points wins.
Yep.
So, and fairly straightforward.
It's very straightforward. It's a quick game.
Mm-hmm.
Once you actually know the rules and what you're doing, we had 3 people playing, and it took us, what, about 20 minutes?
15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's my game pick of the week, the Catan Dice game. Once again, there will be links to it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Halloween themed. There's no real way to turn it into Halloween themed.
Nights aren't Halloween. Yeah,
nah.
Roads aren't Halloween.
Well, they could be dark roads on a stormy night, but I mean, it really doesn't. You just have to use your imagination. And but if you have a lot of people gathered together for a Halloween party, it is a very fun, very quick game.
Yeah.
And it's a blast to play.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And what else do you need for your Halloween party, Jason?
Well, my opinion,
mm-hmm.
It's not all just about games.
Yeah.
I mean, it would seem from the way we're talking it is, but no, movies.
Movies.
Movies are an integral part of your Halloween experience. Movies,
yes.
And up to Halloween, during Halloween, after Halloween, you know, maybe
keep
not.
Keep the Halloween spirit going all year round.
At least up until Thanksgiving. Yeah. And so...
Yeah, don't pay attention to those people that put the Christmas stuff up after Halloween. That Christmas stuff needs to go away.
Okay. I mean, if we're going to talk about that... What about these? I'm trying not to cuss. Okay, what about these people that put up Halloween decorations at the beginning of October?
Halloween?
Or Halloween, Christmas decorations.
See, you're so mad you can't even get the holidays right.
I'm still concentrating on not cussing. Bad week for me. Okay.
Yeah. They're out there. And they put them up. So.
Of course,
we have a store out here that's had its Christmas displays up since about June. So
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. movies.
Back to the point. Movies. Okay, one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is there's a movie that I'm not sure a whole lot of people have heard of yet because it's out of Norway. You have to enjoy movies with subtitles, guys. If you don't, you're missing out on some really great movies.
Okay.
The movie I want you guys to watch is called Troll Hunter. Okay, it looks kind of cheesy on the cover and all that. And yes, it's one of the found footage movies that, you know, were overdone after Blair Witch came out and all that. This is probably the best use of that I've ever seen.
Okay.
This movie is not really scary. It's not even really meant to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hell of a lot of fun.
Okay.
And it sets you up in the mood to kind of get your imagination stirred.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much about this group of people who think they're after a poacher. Okay, they're a college group filming. They're wanting to get a report on this poacher. Turns out he's not really a poacher. He's a troll hunter. And these trolls exist out in the wilderness without anybody knowing about it, and the government doesn't want anybody to know about it. But this guy, he's an older guy, he's getting really tired of doing this, and he thinks it's about time people knew what the hell was going on. So once they actually catch up to him and convince him to let them come along, he goes whole hog into showing them what's going on, and it gets great and crazy. And it is a lot of fun. You're gonna, if you give this movie a chance, you're gonna love it.
Troll Hunter. Okay, it's only available by rent right now. Do you know?
I'm not sure all the ways it's available. I know it's available streaming on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah,
well, that's cool.
Yep, that's where I watched it.
Yep. One of my favorite scary movies, and you know me, I don't like slasher films. I think they're boring.
People every once in a while because they're fun, yeah, but you know, yeah, they're few and far between.
To me, they're kind of boring. I like more of the creepy feeling, and I want that creep factor that kind of starts worming its way into you and gradually raising the hackles in the back of your neck.
Absolute favorite kind of scary movie. Yes.
Yeah, and one of my favorites for that is The Changeling, not the one with Angelina Jolie. That just came out. That's not scary. That's just a bad movie. The Changeling, this one came out in 1978, stars George C. Scott and Trish Van Devere.
Creepy enough that I actually own this movie. I went out and bought it instead of renting it, instead of waiting for it to come out on streaming. I bought this movie.
The movie itself, George C. Scott is a classical piano player. There's a tragedy. His family is killed. And he decides he's going to move across the country to get away from the memories. Obviously, that never works.
Not in the movies, it doesn't.
For some reason, because I guess he's a rich guy. I keep coming back to that theme. He buys a huge house out in the Nowheresville on this. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it is. It's got to be Maine or something.
Right.
And he buys this huge house, and it is on sale. And why is it on sale? Because it's haunted. Duh. But he doesn't believe in that kind of stuff. So basically, nothing really happens. You're kind of thinking, well, I'm watching this movie. And then things start to happen. The noises start. Mm-hmm. The piano doesn't work right until he walks away from it. You know, little things that keep adding up and adding up. And as I'm sitting here telling you, my hair is standing up on my arm because it's just so well made. You got to watch this movie. I'm not going to go into all the stuff that builds up because if I do,
you'll ruin some of this stuff.
You ruin the creep factor if I do that. But basically,
because there's scenes like the little rubber ball on the stairs. I want to talk about.
No, don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Yeah.
So anyway, the creep factor is so great, and the movie kind of moves from this tragic family film into a creepy ghost story, and then a murder mystery. It's going to keep your attention throughout it's great. So The Changeling.
And if you could see it the way I originally saw it, this is going to give you even more of a hint than what we've talked about before of how old I am. I saw it when it originally came out at the drive-in theater. And if you could see it there, you will never forget this movie. It will creep you out for the rest of your life. normally at a drive-in theater, there are people talking, there's cars honking, there's people moving around and everything. During the changeling, it was deadly silent.
Yeah.
Everybody was stuck watching this movie and just creeped out, and nobody was moving, making a noise.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a great film that will challenge your imagination. You can bring it into your games. Get the creep factor in your games. Don't just do the hack and slash.
Yeah, quite honestly. I mean, that's something that I think that, especially if you're going to play a role-playing game, that's been missing out of those for a lot of people is they don't play with the atmosphere enough.
Play it with the atmosphere. Get the atmosphere going. Don't just dungeon crawl and hack and slash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to put chills up your player's spine, yeah. And then they'll never forget your game.
So, other movies, other things, what kind of monsters do we have that are out for Halloween-y type stuff? You know, the new Wolfman that came out recently, I loved it.
Benicio del Toro, yeah.
I love that. Now, it didn't get very good reviews, but it's like a new movie in the classic style.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't think they would be able to do this, but actually mixed the old with the new.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching a new modern movie with new effects and everything, but it feels like the old movie.
Yeah, and you get oh my gosh, some of the amazing new style gore, but it's done in that classic noir style.
Right. I mean, it's not gross. It's
pretty interesting. I liked it a lot.
I thought it was amazing.
So The Wolfman, if you want to pick up that, vampire films, Fright Night just came out.
Fright Night. Actually, the remake, try to put the first movie aside. If you love the first movie, try to put it aside because it's not exactly the same and you're going to be thrown by some of the differences. But if you watch it as a standalone movie without thinking about the first one, it's actually really good.
So that might be something to do, is to watch the original and the new versions of Fright Night just for fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to get yourself worked up, sure.
And, of course, what kind of other monsters do we have? Zombies. We got zombies.
You've got the Walking Dead series.
Mm-hmm.
Will Wheaton has pointed out that there are some problems with it.
Yeah.
But they're minor. Like he said, it doesn't really detract from the fact that it's a hell of a good zombie show.
Yeah. And, of course, Walking Dead, based on a comic book series that you can pick up as well.
Absolutely. I highly recommend that you do.
And I guess the second season is on television right now. You can get the first season of Walking Dead on Netflix.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely.
Now, personally, I hate zombies.
Yep.
I've had a thing with things crawling out of the dirt since I was a little kid. I don't know what it is, but zombies creep me out. And not in the way like the Changeling does.
Right.
I hate zombies. Despise them. But if I was to pick one zombie movie that I could watch, it would be Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
Yeah, I love Shaun of the Dead. It's hilarious. So.
And I absolutely love it, too.
Forget to kill Philip. Just a shout out to all you Shaun of the Deadites out there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, anything with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost is going to be amazing. And most definitely Shaun of the Dead for your Halloween fare is perfect.
And I do like Army of Darkness, too.
Well, yeah, any of the Evil Dead, anything with Bruce Campbell in it, you know, Man with a Screaming Brain, My Name is Bruce, Army of Darkness, yes, most definitely.
But those are good movies, just good movies. If you haven't seen any of those movies, any of those are good picks, I think, for just fun.
Hey, if you've seen all of those and you're looking for other suggestions, drop a note in the comments and I'm telling you what, we don't have a podcast long enough for me to give you a list of the movies I think you should be watching for Halloween. In fact, you don't have enough time to watch all the movies I think you should be watching for Halloween. So, yeah, drop a comment. I will be more than happy to give you some suggestions or make your own suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if there's something I don't know about, I want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, any of the Guillermo del Toro movies.
Ooh, you know, yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth. Devil's Backbone.
Oh, Devil's Backbone. Man, that was good.
Yeah, any of those movies. That was creepy. But, you know, we could keep on talking about
this. Yeah, we could.
But unfortunately, we are pretty much at the end of our podcast for the
day. Yeah, we've run out of time now. And so have a very happy and safe Halloween.
Yes, have fun. And if, like I said, all of these things, we're going to have it in the show notes. So come and check out the links, and we'll have links to information about the movies, information about the games we mentioned, and information about the Etsy thing and the documentary. It's all going to be there at www.thediceguys.com.
And keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. No, man.
Trying to kill me!